song. All right, this is December 30th, 1991. I'm at the home of Josie Armantrout in Harmon, West Virginia. Yeah. I may have asked you this before. What's the name of this little run here?
Horse Camp.
Horse Camp.
Yeah. Right. It's been there ever since 1770-something.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why it was named that. I don't know.
Right. Well, if I do this little project, I think it would be a good thing. I think it would be a good thing for you.
Might be.
I can get an awful lot of information about you from your books, because you did usually include a little bit in your family.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a few things I want to make sure. One is, do you mind telling me your birth date?
Well, that can't be hid, you know, it's evidence. My birth date was August the 25th, 1908.
Uh-huh.
So I'm getting up there.
Sure. That's,
I never cared to tell that. Some people are ticklish about that, but I'm not.
Okay. I think it's something to be proud of.
Anyone can see that I'm old.
When did you do your first book, Josie?
It was published in 1979.
Uh-huh.
It's this little one here.
And that was Pioneer Days.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And, I was 78.
78.
I thought 79
was 78. And you have a total of how many now?
Well, I've got them, yes. There's one coming off the press right away. Let's see, this is 3. Oh, I have to get up to guess. And this is 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And this one, I guess, is, can't tell if I got them all or not. And then, this one out near me, I guess that's 5, and 3 is 8. Yeah. No, that'd be 4. 9. There's a cookbook, that'd be 9.
Right.
I keep on getting more, and I forget how many I have.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty prolific since 78.
Well, they're very small. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only one that's any size, the cookbook. The others are small ones.
Mm-hmm. And do the prices vary on them that you sell them?
Not
for?
Too much. It's about $1,250 or something like that.
I mean, the prices that you sell them for.
Oh, prices I sell them for. Oh yes, I sell some of them for $3. These little ones.
Uh huh.
Sometimes I forget and sell them for $4.
And what about the other ones?
The others are 5. These big ones are 5. On the cookbook's the highest, it's 7.
Uh-huh.
And the others are between 4 and 5. I raised a couple of them a dollar. It was just too cheap to sell them for $3. A pretty good size.
Yeah.
This one, and I can't see good. This one's pretty good size. No, that's not one. Oh, there's one of these others here. Farside Yarns. It's pretty good size.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it there. It must be over here. No, that's it. Maybe you don't have it there. Oh, let's get up.
I did see it there.
Did you?
In that stack. You know? And that one is what?
Well, I raised it to 4.
And,
It and the... Killer Clan.
Okay.
They're pretty large in number of pages. Now those other little ones are not many pages in them.
And you haven't published down in Harrisonburg, did you tell me?
Yes, all but the first three, they were published in Oregon. And I didn't know about this. Well, this place, I don't think, had changed. They got a new manager, and that's when I found out about them. And he happens to be related to some of my friends down here, and that's the way I found out about that place. And I changed because they didn't have to mail them. Mailing that manuscript was pretty high to Oregon.
Do you type your manuscript out?
I used to, but I can't anymore. Can't see. Yeah, bad eye trouble. But I managed to do all these, only one. Hard one of the small ones done. And this last one had been typed out for several years, and just later on I hadn't published it. So I decided to do that, and I thought, well, I'm not going to be here in this world much longer. I better get it done.
And it's what, short stories? Or?
No, it's short stories. All sorts of different themes. Some for young and some for old.
And, but it's fiction?
Yeah, in a way, yes. It's fiction, but it's based on fact, you know. It's not wild stuff. It's true. Yeah, it is true in the, as to way the partly one, a couple, one or two of them about animals. Well, that's true, see. Only I've just kind of made the story up, but then it's true about the animals' habits, things like that. And then there's others that are all fictional, just for children and for old people, too.
And what will be the title of it?
Well, Stories for Young and Old is all I gave them. That's, I guess that's what it'll be called. Because there's some for real small children and some for big people. It's just, I gathered up the remnants of everything I had yet that I hadn't published, you know.
That's good. I've
been written for a long time. But I was getting old, and I thought, well, I might get sick sometime and never get them published. Let people know I could write them anyway, whether they ever bought them or not. I don't figure on selling many of them.
I may have gone over this before in time, but you were, did you tell me you were born in Randolph County?
Right up here on the hill.
Okay.
I'm pretty close home.
Lizard Gate, is that what it's called?
Well, they call it, I don't know what in the world. I'd like to take a club to the state. Now, that never was called the Blizzard Run. Never, that I know of. That little, it's just a little green down from that hollow over yonder. And it wasn't called that until just maybe 7 or 8 years ago. They changed the sign. And somebody put up the wrong sign. It points up this road. Was not the Blizzard Road. That one over there was, on that side.
So is this just called Horse Camp?
Or? It had no name. This little road didn't have any name.
But it goes up Horse Camp?
No, it used to go clear. This was the old road before the state road was built. There's just a little section of the old road left cut off.
I see.
And it only goes right up yonder and stops. Just call it a lane now or something like that, you know. And this was the old road. It was built back in 1790-some. But it got called the Blizzard Road. That's the dumbest thing I ever saw.
Well, how would you get to your home place?
Where I was born?
Yeah.
We went right on up it, and up yonder's a gate, and then we got a little road that goes around up the hill.
Is it still standing? The house?
No, the house isn't standing. No, it burned down here up home a few years ago. I hate that, but I can help it. Let's see this. One of these books has a picture of it. Yeah, there's the house I was born in. Right up yonder on that hill, right opposite that house on the hill is a house next to the road up there on that side over there. Go right straight across the run and up over the bank. There's where it's standing. There's a house there now, but it's not that one.
Is this looking up towards Allegheny?
No, it's looking up towards this knob here.
Okay.
He's kind of... You're cut off for looking up at to Allegheny. You can't see up that way. But now after we get up on these little hills, you can see the top of Allegheny on some of them. Up on some of these little hills around here, I've seen the top of Allegheny. You can't down where the house is.
And your parents, what were your parents' names?
Well, my father was Alonzo Thompson. And he was born on Spruce Mountain, close to the little village called Onego or Oneco or whatever you want to call it. Wait a minute, I'm wrong on that. There's where they lived, I was thinking. That's what I thought I was saying. He wasn't born there. They lived there. They lived there for years. Well, he was, let's see, where was he born? I think he's born over in the Roy Gap that goes up from the footbridge over there at Mount Seneca. Goes over into, up against North Mountain in a little gap, they call them.
I've seen that.
Roy Gap, I think that's right across from the visitor station up there. I think there's where he was born. Now, they moved to Parsons when he was only a year or two old. Stayed down there 3 or 4 years and came back. But now, I don't know that I can swear to that fact or not, where he was born at, but I really think it was there.
Is that A-L-O-N-Z-O?
A-L-O-N-Z-O, yeah.
And how about your mother?
Alonzo. My mother's name was Anna Harmon.
She was always from Harmon.
Yes, she was from Harmon. She was always right there. He came out here from Pendleton County that way back in 1890-some. They used to have traveling teachers who'd go around and teach school for a month or two. Just extra, you know, for extra schooling. And he came out from Pendleton. Sure, it's that, you see. Therefore, he found her. She went to it too. Same school.
I see.
All of them around here that wanted to get a little better education than what the free schools could give them, why they went to that school in the summer. Some were trying to better their education so they could pass the state examination, you know, that's what they had then. Try to get a job and teach school. This was an impoverished area. And they did anything they could to improve themselves or anything if it would make them a dollar. So there was a lot of young people that the only job available in this country at that time was school teaching. And it didn't pay very much, but they were all anxious to get it.
So both of your parents did that?
Yes, they did that.
And then
they couldn't hardly live. It only paid about $20 a month, school teaching did. It wasn't enough to live on. He'd work in the lumber woods in the summer.
Didn't you tell me that you were mostly educated at home?
Yeah. I never went to free school. We lived at, without, you know, they had a limit. 3 miles is all they could force you to go. And we lived beyond the 3 mile limit. And most of the time. But I know once we were lived down at a place called Sully. It's up on the mountaintop.
You know where Sully is?
And it's up on top of that mountain, a couple miles below the post office. And it wasn't 3 miles, but it was straight up like that. And so my mom said, so she was not going to send me now. I'd have to go through the woods all that way, you know. And I wasn't hard, I was sickly and when I was a child, and she wouldn't send me. So the truant officer, that's what we called him, to try to make the children go, you know, he had to get go see them if they didn't go. He sent her word he was coming up, talked to her about it. She said, you just let him come. I'll tell him, she said. I can remember that. And And they went back and told him what she said, but he would never came. He was afraid to come, I guess.
You never went with your parents to wherever they were teaching?
1 year, the last year that he taught over there. And I was ready to pass the diploma test. But I went that winter anyway, extra. Just because I had no one to stay with me at home, mainly. That's all I ever went to free school. But my mother would order the books, textbooks, and some others if she could afford it, and get it for me in the fall, and she'd teach the lessons. She had a certificate most of the time. And she would teach me these lessons. She'd lay them out just like they do in school and teach them. She did that all the time. They were the adopted school books. She'd always add a few if she could afford to buy them. She heard the classes just like you would in school. Like she'd have done in the schoolhouse. So I didn't think I was cheated any at all. Didn't have to walk to school.
Did you have siblings?
Huh?
Did you have brothers and sisters?
She only had a third grade certificate, and she got stumped on anything, you know. She'd tell him in the evening when he come in, and he'd have to help me a little that night. So he'd help me. He was a pretty good school teacher.
How long did you live there at Sully?
About, I think about 9 years. Uh-huh. From 1917 to 1926.
I've been to Sully in recent times. There's not a whole lot going on there now.
Nobody lives there anymore.
Was there very many people
pretty
then?
Good, a pretty good little settlement in there, about a dozen families. Uh-huh. Now there were two families below there, on the other end of the mountain down next to Jennings. Two families that didn't go to that school. He went to Jennings' school. But there's about a dozen families.
Did, where would you go to trade when you lived there?
Jenningston.
There was a store at Jenningston?
It was until the lumber job left. Uh-huh. You know, there was a big lumber outfit logging up in the Laurel Fork Valley, way on up. Uh-huh. And they even had a railroad, you know, up there. And, they had a company store down there, a place to get on the train, you know, the train stopped.
Is Laurel Fork, is that the big hollow there that sort of down over the hill from Sully?
It's on the left side as you go up.
From Jenningston to Sully, it's on the left.
If you go up toward Sully, it's on that side.
Right, okay.
It's very deep and very narrow. About the narrowest valley I know of that are good-sized river in it. Uh-huh. That's strange, but the river's long, you know. It's, it heads way up close to somewhere.
It heads up where?
Way up toward Pocahontas somewhere.
Really?
Way up. It's a long river.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
You cross it over here, you know, and you go across to Elkins, you cross the first river.
Okay,
second river you cross, there's four rivers from here to Elkins, and that's the second one.
So Laurel Fork goes into Dry Fork at Jenningston.
Yes, it goes into it at Jenningston. They all go into it. It goes down, this river goes into it, and then Lady Fork goes into it right below Jenningston, and on over to comes out.
And I guess the railroad went up Dry Fork.
The railroad went from through Whitmer.
Yeah.
Whitmer was a booming lumber town at that time. And a little later on, Jenningston kind of was a sort of a boom town. But it didn't last as long as Whitmer did. And all these towns around here were lumber towns. And now they're gone. There are none.
Was places like Whitmer and Jenningston as big as Harmon or considered?
Bigger.
Bigger?
Yeah, bigger. Harmon never was a lumber town. It was just a little old country village. But the railroad did go through it. And you could get on the railroad here and go up to the Whitmer or down to Jennings, neither one. They're big lumber towns, but this town never was a lumber town. Just a little old, grew up from just a little farmer settlement. But it's older than either one of the others. See, the first settlers came in from the way of Virginia here from the east. Back that way was just wilderness at that time.
I've told you, I think, that I'm interested in music, and I had some questions about the old man John Armstrong.
Yeah.
Where did?
Fiddler.
Yeah, you told me some about him.
Yeah. Well, he came from Virginia.
He did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know just where. I don't remember. But he was from Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why he came in here. I don't know. It may have been the lumber job. You know, there was jobs to be got over here mm-hmm. then at that time. So I don't know why he came here. But
do you know what?
He married a girl here and stayed.
Uh-huh.
And he lived up here on Allegheny.
Do you know what, approximately when he came?
Well, no, I don't. But he was, I don't know what age he was when he died. Let's see, he might have been 70 when he died, I don't know. And came here when he was a young man, you know. He was a pretty good fiddler.
Remember any tunes he played?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to play with him some.
On the guitar?
Mm-hmm. The organ, too, or we had an organ at that time. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Oh, he played most all the tunes that played around here at that time. The ones I can remember, though, I don't know. Most any of them. He played some waltzes and all. He played dance music most of the time. You know, mm-hmm. they had dance here all every Saturday night, though. That was their amusement. Mm-hmm. They had a platform down there where the senior center is. He was their fiddler most of the time. Of course, I never helped him over there. He'd come to our house, and he was a good friend of ours. He'd come over there, and we'd sit and play music for hours.
Do you happen to know, or could you recall, if he ever tuned his fiddle in different tunings than the standard violin?
No, I don't think he did. Never heard it. But he wasn't so correct or so was such a good fiddler, but he was just an ordinary.
You have any idea how he learned to play?
No, I imagine he just picked it up like everybody else did at that time.
Do you know where in Virginia he came from?
No, I don't. But some of his people live around here. Mm-hmm. Some of his family. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Wouldn't know who tell you to ask. I don't know where they live.
I know his grandson just passed away. That was Billy. Yeah.
But really, I don't know where they're living. And he has some grandchildren and great-grandchildren and so on around up here, but I really don't know whether they know or not where he came from. I've heard him say, but I can't remember.
Yeah. You know, approximately what year he died?
No, I don't.
So like in the 50s or 60s, 70s?
I don't know that, but there are people around here could tell you. Yeah. All these, let's see. Just watch which ones, I don't know. That's a good call, Mosey down here could tell you.
Uh-huh.
Probably could. Let's see, I don't know. There's some of his people up here on Allegheny. I don't know if they died, if they knew when he died or not. They might have forgotten that these people right above the church sit.
Uh-huh.
should know.
I know one of your books had a picture of him.
Yes, they should know, but you know, we never paid any attention to anything like that.
Do you know where the picture, where you got a hold of the picture, or who owns it? Or?
I think he gave it to me.
Oh, you have it.
Yeah, somewhere. Uh-huh. And it's in one of the books there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, did you ever play with him at the dances?
No, not at the dances.
Did you ever go to dances?
I was sitting and watch sometimes. My mother was a very strict woman. Uh-huh. And I grew up now in a straitjacket. I don't know if you know what that is, but yeah. I do. I only went where she said I could go. And I didn't have a very good reputation over there at that dance. Yeah. But sometimes she'd go with me if I wanted to go watch them while she'd go with me and we'd sit over there and watch for a while. I never did dance with them. Never even learned to dance.
Mm-hmm. Was your mother a religious person?
Well, I don't know. There was a lot of the old people around here in that time. They were sort of strict in their ideas, you know. Yeah. No, she wasn't extra religious. She belonged to the church there at that time. Mm-hmm. But, and her people, some of her. Pretty strong.
What kind of church? Was there a church in Sully?
Yes, they built one right after we moved there. Yes, sir, yeah.
What denomination was that?
UB, or it used to be UB, but now they're Methodist.
Yeah, because United Brethren. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've gone to that one several times too. Uh-huh. When I was a kid.
What but was a
3 mile? I couldn't go very often.
What was a meeting like when you were?
A meeting.
A kid, a church meeting.
Oh, they were about like they are today, only they're more strict in their ideas and so on. Yeah, they wore bonnets and the women did, and the men didn't wear wet neckties and so on. About like the Amish are today.
Mm-hmm. Would they have a preacher from the community or somebody come through?
No, they didn't have here at this church. They had, their preacher came from Eglin out there. Preston Camp.
Uh-huh. Once a month or so?
Or some of them lived out there of that denomination, and they always came and preached here.
Uh-huh. Was the United Brethren, was that pretty much the religion of the German folks when they came?
No. No, the German folks was these up here, the Brethren. They're that yet, up here at this church where I go.
Yeah.
My grandfather was one of them. Mm-hmm. All that.
Were they brethren when they came?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is, those preachers were. Mm-hmm. Oh, when my grandfather's people came here, I don't know. It was anything or not, but they soon belonged to it, you know, when the church came in, they soon belonged to it. But it was kind of a natural church, sort of like people believed in that kind of strict living in those days, you know.
None of the early German people who came here were Mennonite, were they?
Yes, they were, but it's a little later. It came, I think, a little later, at least to this country. I don't know where they were at the time, but uh-huh. All came from Pennsylvania and Virginia at one time or another. These brethren have been here quite a while. This church was built, I think, along about 95. I don't know, 1895, but I'm not certain just of the year. But they had been preaching in people's houses for several years. You know.
Do you know what the very first churches in Harmon were? What denominations?
The very first one in this Harmon area was this one right up here.
And that was the
where we still go to. Uh-huh. Long about 1895, I'd say, the building, but they'd been here for 50 years before that.
Uh-huh.
They preached in an old lady up there that used to call her grandmother Cooper all the time. They preached in her home for years.
Uh-huh.
And different homes. This is the oldest church in this area, around here, anywhere.
Uh-huh.
First one, there was no people anywhere, only right here in Harmon at that time. Well, no people down below or above either one.
Harmon was settled way back then.
Yes, there was a little settlement right up here a couple miles, about a mile, half a mile above the church.